Rolling. So we're Revelation chapter 9. We're going to do about half of it. So to get us started, I did have a question brought up. Pastor Mike can help me explain this. The question was basically what happens. There's a teaching essentially that basically says the Holy Spirit will not be here at the end of times, which is not. So the question was, so will there be no Holy Spirit during the tribulation? Will they not have the Holy Spirit? And that. I forget the scripture where they take that from, but basically what's going to happen, so you have a couple of things happening. Number one, the church is gone. And we, the church, are part of the restraint against the spiritual darkness of the world. Your prayers and our involvement. And so at the rapture, when the church is taken out of this place, that restraint is gone. And so some people translate that to say the Holy Spirit is gone. And the Holy Spirit isn't gone, but the Holy Spirit will operate more like it did in the Old Testament. And essentially, you know, in the Old Testament, there's numerous stories in the Old Testament where it says, you know, the Holy Spirit came upon Samson and, you know, he brought down the building. Or the Spirit came upon this prophet and... da, 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 da. And so the Holy Spirit will still be active. It'll still be drawing people. It's just, it's not going to look like what we are experiencing today. And so just for clarification of that kind of what that's going to look like. Does that make sense?
Well, too, don't you think too, because sin will be just running rampant and people will be in such a panic and destructive and self-preserved state,
yeah.
That it will. I think for a lot of people, it will appear as if there is no Holy Spirit there, because I think, like you said, that with everybody gone who believes, it just leaves.
You can even think just in your day to day. Think about the people, like maybe in your workplace, or you know, if all the people with a conscience and. Not even necessarily Christians, just the people that want to do things right, they're all gone. And then the people that just want to do what they want to do have control. What a crazy world that will be.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go through chapter 9 here, or part of chapter 9, and we're going to see the spiritual torment that is about to be loosed on the people during the tribulation. All the other stuff, earthquakes and meteors and all that, you can do that. But now all of a sudden, a demonic presence is going to unfold like never before. And so that's going to be something new and different. Well, not new, because we still have that today. But so Revelation chapter 9... we're reading verses 1 through 12. So it says, Revelation 9, starting in verse 1, says, "And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth. And he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. Then from the smoke came locusts on earth. And they were given power like the power of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or tree, but only those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were allowed to torment them for 5 months, but not kill them. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings someone. And in those days, people will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. In appearance, verse 7, in appearance, the locusts were like horses, prepared for battle. On their heads were what looked like crowns of gold. Their faces were like human faces. Their hair like women's hair. And their teeth like lion's teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron. And the noise of their wings was like the noise of many chariots with horses rushing into battle. They have tails and stings like scorpions, and their power to hurt people for 5 months is in their tails. They have as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he is called Apollyon. The first woe has passed. Behold, two more woes are still to come. Lord, we pray that your word would be alive in our hearts and in our lives. We pray you would give us understanding as we research your scripture this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the first couple of verses, the fifth angel blew his trumpet. So we're in the seven trumpets. And they're releasing seven different judgments. The first four judgments we already went through, and those were natural disasters, if you will, things being loosed upon the heaven or upon the earth, upon, you know, whether it was meteors and earthquakes and all the different things that were happening. So now we take a little bit of a shift in the things that are happening, and when the fifth angel blows his trumpet, it says, I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. Now, in previous chapters, we had stars fall from heaven, but they were literal, like meteors and things like that that were happening. This, the reference is a little different. It refers to the star as a he, as a person. And they're given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. And verse 2 says, he opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke, like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. So this great pit, so it's not hell, it's not Hades. This is a holding place for demonic forces. We know that throughout Scripture, as we look through Scripture, essentially, there's two types of demons that are talked about in Scripture. They're the demons that are out and about right now, prowling about, seeking to devour, seeking to disrupt your life, seeking to lead us into things, seeking to confuse our minds. I believe there is a demonic activity at work in our world right now of confusion. Confusing the minds, especially the minds of young people, where the things that are wrong are now right, and the things that are right are now wrong, and there's a confusion that has taken over young people. They don't know what gender they are, they don't know, and it's confusion. Mm-hmm. And then there's those, and we see this in 2 Peter chapter 2, there's those that are confined to dungeons and held for judgment. So we know that there's demons that are active and those that are being restricted or bound or held currently. So this star is a reference to a person or a spiritual entity. And it's not a literal star like in previous. And there's two viewpoints as to who this is. So one viewpoint is that this star is an angel, that God has entrusted the keys to this pit, and at the appointed time, he's going to go down and he's going to open that pit and release what is described as locusts. So that's one view. The second view is that the keys are given to Satan himself. And when we get a little bit further in chapter 12, we're going to see a description of the battle that takes place when Satan is removed from heaven. And there's the possibility, and removed from heaven, by that I mean, when we go back, for instance, to the book of Job, in the book of Job, at the beginning, it talks about how Satan goes before the Lord's throne in heaven and sees who he can accuse of God's people. And that's when he goes and he says, well, what about your servant Job? You don't let me do anything to him, and he's so blessed, and he's got all these kids, and he's got all these livestock and all this land. And if you would just let me attack him, he would turn on you. And so we see in that picture that's drawn in the book of Job that somehow, we don't understand all of these things, Satan has access to go before God still. And we presume that this is still happening today. So he's going before God and he's saying, hey, the cliques, let me mess with them a little bit. And God says, no, those are my chosen people. And he says, well, hey, what about the Sherbys? Let me mess with them a little bit. And he says, well, hey, what about... And he just starts working through, like, who are you going to let me mess with today? Because you're his enemy. Mm-hmm. And so in chapter 12 of Revelation, we're going to see this battle unfold where he's going to be removed and not have that access any longer. And so there's thought that this reference here is a reference to that, and that Satan is the one that he's going to go and he's going to open this pit and he's going to release this demonic force upon the earth. And so, you know, there's not a lot of information. I just read the two verses, so you've got the information. There's not a lot of content to really determine what is being for sure, which reference is correct. The bottom line is that the pit is going to be opened and a whole new kind of hell is going to be unleashed upon the earth. And so the other interesting thing about this pit, we know that in the millennial reign that Satan is going to be bound for the 1,000 years. This is the pit. Would be kind of ironic if it was a pit he used to have the keys to, and Jesus takes the keys, puts them in, locks the door, and says, yeah, you just sit tight for a minute.
Is this prior to the tribulation, do you
think? This is in the tribulation.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're in the midst of the tribulation. So let's keep going. So verse 3, Revelation 9, verse 3. Then from the smoke, so the smoke when he opens the pit, from the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were given power like the power of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or any tree, but only those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were allowed to torment them for 5 months, but not to kill them. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings someone. And in those days, people will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. So this is a reference to Joel chapter 2, where the prophecy talks about this army, if you will, that is going to be unleashed upon the people during the tribulation. And this is the point in the tribulation where we shift from judgment on the natural world to a judgment that's going to take place in the spiritual world. And so it's widely held by scholars that this attack that is described here, these locusts that are described here, that this is a description of the spiritual forces, the demons that are going to be released upon the world. We don't know from why are these ones bound and held in this place. There's thought that it could be they're pre-Adam, you know, that it's from that time period when they were placed in this place. And there's a couple of other theories which, you know, the difficult part with those, and the reason I don't go into it a lot is because it's all theory. You know, guys go, well, I think maybe it could be this, or I think maybe it could be that. And if we don't know, we don't know. And, you know, when the kids want to do something, sometimes the answer is no. And they go, well, why? Well, you don't really need a reason. I'm the dad, and I said no. And sometimes when God is describing stuff to us and explaining stuff to us, sometimes he gives us just enough to understand that this thing is going to happen, and we don't need all the details. We just need to understand that he is the Almighty Father, and that it's in our best interest to have at least this much understanding of what's going to happen. That probably within our our finite brains and our pompous attitudes and our I'm so great and we're American made and all these things, that if he gave us too much information, we would mess it up. Less is more sometimes. And so we don't have all the details. We don't know why these demons are in this place or some of those things. But what we do know is that these appear to be the most vicious, unrelenting ones, and we'll see in the description when we read the description in a minute, that are loosed upon the world. Locusts, you know, they're described as locusts. Often in the New Testament, or in the Old Testament, I'm sorry, in the Old Testament, locusts are often used as a form of judgment. And many of the things that happened during the tribulation are a parallel to what happened to Egypt. So the description of locusts, or the term locust, is used, and actual locusts do attack in Egypt during the 10 plagues. But this is a different thing. This isn't the same. That was actual locusts, physical locusts, attacking the plants and animals and whatnot. This is spiritual. So, and the only ones spared from this attack are those with the seal of God. So if you ever wondered about spiritual warfare, if you ever wondered, like, does it make a difference when I'm serving God? Yes, it does. Because the only ones that are going to be spared from all of this are the ones that are serving God. Everybody else is going to be tormented. And so, personally, when I read this, there's a couple of things that I think of. When I worked at the prison as a chaplain, part of my responsibility in Idaho, one of the more intense mental health units is in the maximum security prison. And it was my responsibility to go walk through there every month. And the kind of individuals that were in this section of the prison, and there's three different units, or three different tiers, if you will, in this unit. And you had the guys that really had some mental health issues, but could function fairly well. And then the second one was pretty intense mental health issues, to the point the one guy, I went in there one day, and this particular inmate, and I, you know, had numerous encounters with this guy, and I walk in, and he's got this, like, paper hat on his head. And he goes, "Chaplain, do you hear it?" "Do I hear what?" "The noises. Do you hear the voices? They're coming to get us." I was like, "Sorry, buddy. I'm not hearing the voices." And he was wearing the hat to protect himself from the voices, because they're coming to get him. And he's 100% serious. He's not playing games. He's not being sarcastic. You know, and you got to be gentle and you got to be kind, and you're like, "If I could just lay hands on you and pray for you right now," is what you need. And he was not, you know, unique in this setting. He was one of the normal or healthier individual. And then the third tier was so intense that on the second floor they had fencing up so you couldn't jump off. And those guys, there was one guy, you couldn't even give him a piece of paper. He would eat it. He would do all kinds of weird things. One guy, Taryn and Jake got to go on a tour one time, and this particular guy was, we had like a, it looked like a phone booth, but it was a cage. And he wore this like weighted smock because he couldn't have clothes because he might hurt himself. And so he had this weighted smock. and his arms and legs were all scars from how much cutting he'd done. He was probably in his late 20s. You know, he would look at you and he just had the saddest, emptiest eyes. And we would have many conversations, and he knew he was very broken and sick, and you know, I just, man, it was heartbreaking. And we went on a tour, and he was in the little phone booth thing, and he had his smock on, and he's like, you know, I mean, it's literally like, you guys remember what phone booths look like? So, not very big. Yeah, the one Superman gets in. I'm like, this guy might have thought he was Superman. And he would just kind of huddle to himself and pace in circles. And, you know, just a sad, sad deal. And I would go through every month and talk to these guys and try and encourage them. And when I think about this, these individuals, right, all over the earth, people are going to be tormented by these demons, spiritually tormented in their heart, in their mind, in their spirit. And I think of these people, like this kid, and he just wanted to die so bad, he was just constantly cutting on himself. And that is going to happen all over the world. These people are going to be tormented by these spirits. And it says to the point that they're going to want to die, but death will escape them. We've all been through difficult situations and challenging circumstances in life. And sometimes you think, man, when is this going to end? But for these guys, it's going to be so bad, they're going to just long for death to come. It's kind of somber when you think about it, and it's heartbreaking to think, like, man, they're just gonna want the only release that they could feel like they could experience would be to die. But they're not even gonna be able to do that. So it's gonna be an intense time, spiritually heavy and oppressive and dark. I can tell you, when I walk into those units, you could feel it in the building. You could feel it when you pulled into the parking lot. But then as you got into that section of the building, you could feel the heaviness in that place. It was dark. And if people are like, I don't know if this spiritual stuff is real, well, let's go for a drive. And you'll change your mind. It is very real. It is so heavy. Megan's got a video she came across this week that in one of our teachings I want to use, and it talks about a girl. It's a girl talking that was involved in the occult. She was involved in Satanism, and her and her friends, their whole purpose was to destroy Christians and cast spells. And she talks about in the video how when they would try to go after praying Christians, there was like, she describes it, and there was like a protection over them that they couldn't do anything. And I thought, man, that's kind of like Revelation chapter 9. The ones that are sealed with the seal of God are protected from this time. They get to move about freely. They don't get to experience the torment. They don't have to experience the torment. So it's kind of a crazy time. So going on to verse 7, it says, in appearance, the locusts were like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were what looked like crowns of gold. Their faces were like human faces. Their hair like women's hair. And their teeth like lion's teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron. And the noise of their wings was like the noise of many chariots with horses rushing into battle. They have tails and stings like scorpions, and their power to hurt people for 5 months is in their tails. They have as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon. In Greek, it is Apollyon. So when you think about this description, it's intense. like horses prepared for battle, and on their head is a crown of gold. And typically crowns of gold are for victory because they're going to win. Their faces were like humans. They have a hair like a woman. Teeth like a lion. So they're designed for battle and destruction. My first thought when I read through this is, and I even went and looked up a video. I remember as a kid watching Raiders of the Lost Ark. And they open the ark. And then all of these spirits come out of it when they open it. And the CGI back then is nothing compared to what we have today. And so it's not nearly as cool as I remember it as a kid. But the way that they're depicted in that movie is very similar to this description. It's very similar. And so I watched the video and I was like, man, that's crazy. It's just like this. The breastplate of iron to protect them. The noise of their wings. Have you ever, whether it's a bunch of bees or even a flock of birds, and the noise that they generate, and that's what this is going to be like. It's going to be like horses and chariots, it says, on their way to battle, which creates a noise. And so not only is this spiritual thing going to be taking place, and we don't know if this cloud of locusts is going to physically be able to be seen or if this is all happening in the spiritual realm. I would kind of think it's this is all spiritual. But they're going to hear this, potentially. That, man, there is something happening, and I feel like I'm going crazy. And the spiritual attack on people, one of the greatest spiritual attacks of the enemy is that we feel hopeless. And just think, being consumed with that. For 5 months, it says this will go on. Now, interestingly, the locusts tend to live for 5 months, from April to September is when the locusts tend to exist in the world. But then it compares the sting to that of a scorpion, and a scorpion sting doesn't usually last that long, but it's painful and it's irritating for the time that for a few hours after it. But this is going to take place for 5 months. This pain and this annoyance and this spiritual attack is going to be constant for 5 months. And by all appearances, this is a literal 5 months. We can try and twist it into different things, but it looks to be that it is going to be a literal 5 months that this is going to take place. This description... This is the true nature of Satan. This description of one that just wants to torment and wreak havoc upon the people. This is really the description of the true nature of Satan and who he is. And then we see that the king over them, his name means, both of those names mean destroyer. And that's the true nature of Satan and his minions, is to destroy mankind. So that's pretty intense. Like, there's no way to lighten this one up. It's intense. And verse 12 says, "The first woe has passed. Behold, two more to come." Who votes pre-tribulation? Come on. I mean, seriously, like, and people will try to downplay all of these things, but the reality is, the tribulation, there's going to be all the physical stuff that happens, which is primarily what we hear about and talk about, is all the natural disasters and things like that are going to happen. This is way worse than all of that. You can rebuild things after meteors hit, and you can... after things burn and all of those kinds of things. But when you're spiritually tormented for months and months and months on end, that's hard to recover from. And then the next woe, people just start dying. And we'll go into that next week, but it just continues. The intensity, if this isn't intense enough, the intensity continues to increase. And so what's the message for us? And Easter's this Sunday. Jesus is risen. We're starting a new thing at Sunny Ridge Church called Supper Club.
Oh my gosh.
AKA potluck. And we're doing, she's laughing at me because I texted Pastor Brian and said, hey, I want to rebrand potluck.
He doesn't want to call it potluck anymore.
I want to rebrand potluck. And he's like, I said, but Brian's my creative guy, so I have no, I can build things and I can, if you say I want that and show me a picture, I can go build it. But if you say design me this, I can't do it. This, that's all Pastor Brian. He sat here in church during one of my amazing sermons and sketched this.
He totally sketched it out.
And
he wasn't even going to show him.
No, he wasn't. And then he showed me, and I'm like, let's do it. So I texted him and said, hey, I want to rebrand potluck. And he's like, okay. So like, I don't know, half a day later or the next day, he texts me, supper club, and the definition of supper club. And it's something to do with basically people getting together and sharing a meal and enjoying one another's company. And so you're like, why do you want to change it from potluck? Well, it's 2024. The real reason is this, because I want to shift a little bit of our focus of potluck to say, hey, you're new in our church? Next Sunday is supper club. Come, and everybody brings food to share, but you're new, so you just come and eat. And we want to get to know you. Other churches have newcomers fellowship and things like that, but we're going to have supper club. And if you're new, you don't worry about bringing a dish. You just bring your appetite. And then we're going to encourage the people in the church. Hey, if you're not sitting with somebody you don't know, try to find somebody you don't know. Because we want to build relationships. This Sunday is Easter. So we're going to say, hey, you're here for Easter Sunday. We're so glad you're here. Next week is Supper Club. And all you have to do is come, and there will be lunch, and you can have a free lunch and hang out with all these amazing people. And if we can get a couple of families, you know how many families we kept from Easter last year?
Is that zero or three?
Yes.
This is three. Okay. Zero. We kept, I don't think we retained any families from Easter.
And we had a lot of people here.
And we at that time we were averaging 55 to 60 people on a Sunday morning. We had 125 for Easter. This year we're averaging 80, 85 on a Sunday morning. So it's pretty significant growth between last year and this year at this time. So praying and believing for 150 to 175 for Easter. I'd like to retain at least one.
Amen.
I'm not going to make crazy, unrealistic goals, but I'd like to do better than last year. And maybe Supper Club is it. So that's what we're doing, and that's the goal. Because we don't want people to have to experience Revelation chapter 9. We want them to go with us to see Jesus in the air. And Easter is the easiest time to invite people to church. Sunday at 9:45, right out here, weather permitting. We're going to have donuts and coffee. We're not charging for the coffee this year. Moxie Java, we're paying for it, but Moxie Java has given us a good deal, and so we're going to have a couple of different types of coffees from Moxie Java, and we're going to have pastries and muffins, and we'll have potentially have some sort of a photo wall and opportunity for people to come and fellowship for a little bit, get all caffeined up and sugared up. And we got a presentation from the kids and all these cool things. And it's the easiest Sunday to say, hey, it's Easter. You want to come to church with us? And then if you're doing something after, they can do that. And then you can invite them to?
Supper Club.
Supper Club. Supper Club. Doesn't that just roll off the tongue so nice?
It Is your light bulb going to be part of the photo booth?
Is what?
Your light bulb going to be part of the photo booth?
Look. You know what? Now that you said that, it might. I think I'm going to do that. I got this great light bulb. I had this plan in here. And when I went back to the store, there was no more. It was less than 24 hours.
It was a good light bulb.
Stupid Walmart. That's why I hate Walmart.
Did you check a different Walmart?
No, I boycotted Walmart. I already couldn't stand Walmart, and now I really can't stand it. All right, well, let's pray. It is... I have gone on too long, and everybody said...
Sorry,
that's
loud.
All right, my notes don't want to open, and my camera's over there. Do we have any prayer requests?
You're stumped, Dad.
Yeah, do you want me to? So my stepdad, my mom is Edith, if you didn't know, it's my mom. Stepdad went in for a procedure yesterday. It wasn't even scheduled, it was just, hey, why am I taking these medications? And they said, I don't know why. Why don't we do the oh so fun colonoscopy and see? Well, in the process of that, they found, the doctor's pretty sure he had cancer. And so now they're waiting for confirmation. They already have the CT, right? So they already did a CT scan. And so just waiting for confirmation, but the doctor that did the procedure was pretty confident that that is what is going on. And they could see in the images they gave them, you know, you can see the spots and whatnot. And so... you know, referrals to surgeons and cancer doctors and all of the fun stuff now. And so just prayer for that. You know, he's not a spring chicken. He's a late fall chicken. He just turned 85 here a month or so ago. And so, yeah. So just don't know, depending on what they say, don't know what he's going to say as far as treatment or any of those kind of things. Right now, he's really got a great attitude, and he's just going, I've had 85 amazing years on this earth, and I've gotten to do great things, and I have a great stepson, and
a great wife.
Oh, yeah, that too. but no, really, he has a pretty good attitude about it right now, but yeah, just
for that. When do you go to the doctor?
Yesterday.
But when does he see him next?
Tuesday. A week from today.
You already have one scheduled.
Oh, yeah.
See, I keep up.
Well, yeah. They didn't expect to find anything.
Right.
And they were just going for the Crohn's.
But you already have a follow-up.
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't realize that, yeah.
Well,
so,
we just need to pray that.
Yeah. And honestly, you know, he believes in the Lord and... But what a testimony. This could be not only in his life, but, you know, he's got, I have two step-siblings. One is atheist, super nice guy, like I like hanging out with him. You know, we were adults when they got married, so we don't really know each other all that well, but when we see each other. And then my stepsister, who is very involved in the LDS church, and so... You know, his kids don't know the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so what a testimony, you know, to be healed. And so, yeah. And my brother is being an idiot right now. We're not recording anymore, so I can say that.